Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This passage of scripture is kind of the point behind what we're going to talk about tonight. But let's go to Proverbs 37. Proverbs chapter 37. There's a word I want us to look at. Proverbs chapter 37, verse number 4. Says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this message that, Lord, you've given to me. And Lord, it's a Bible study. It's a study of a word in the Bible. And Lord, it's something that you laid upon my heart. Many truths that can be gained from this. Lord, just looking at the points in the Bible tonight, looking at things that we can find in your word, I ask that you'd help my voice and help it to be what it ought to be, help my speech to be what you want it to be, and I pray for, Lord, the delivery of the message. I pray that it would be received right, and Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts as you see fit tonight, and Lord, we thank you for the church that we have, the word that we have, and thank you that someday we'll see you face to face, and Lord, that we will understand everything that we find in your word even more complete. In Jesus' name, I pray for power. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I don't get to say thank you enough for praying for the school, and that's where I work most of the days, all right, and day in, day out during this time of year. And so thank you for praying for us over there. And if you're not, I hope that you will start to do so, and we could use your prayers. And it's been a great year out there, and, you know, your kids say hilarious things, and if I wrote them all down, we could fill the book. But that's not what we're here to talk about tonight, but I do want to just say that. Thank you for praying for Blessed Hope Baptist School, and I do covet those prayers, and I need those, and our kids need them. We're having a good year over there, and I just wanted to say that to the parents. We don't get to talk about that a whole lot, but tonight we're here as a church family, and we're going to look at a Bible study about a word in the Bible, and I'm going to give you the title in just a second. But when you go out hunting, which is what this season is all about, coming up real short, right? Hunting season, hunting of all different kinds of things. When you go out hunting and you get ready to finish the job, right? That means you raise your rifle or you know, draw back your bow or whatever it is. You're going to kill your slingshot, whatever it is. You're going to, nobody does that. All right. Anyway, David did. He killed Goliath with one. And my grandpa did. He used to kill a bunch of squirrels with his slingshot. And so how many of you go squirrel hunting with a slingshot? Anybody do that? All right. No, not really. Anyway, he did. And so I guess that must have been an Iowa thing or something. I don't know. But, you know, when you go hunting, you've got to have the right aim. Right? You do. If your aim is not good, you will not kill anything. All right? I've learned that. Okay? And in almost anything, all right? Whether it's a hunter. You know, a hunter has a desire. Once he pulls that gun up and he aims at that animal, whether it be a deer or a bear, whatever it is, and he puts that animal in his crosshairs, in his aim, his desire is to kill the bear, right? He's not just doing that for fun because he likes it, all right? That's what he wants to do. But listen, we've got a lot of things about this idea of aiming something, and that's kind of the title of the message today. Which way are you aiming? Which way are you aiming? Because listen, when we have a goal, when we have a desire to do something, we've got to point in the right direction. We do. A hunter is aiming at something. He's trying to kill it. His desire is to kill it. When a basketball player aims at the goal, their goal is to make it, right? That's their idea. They have to be aiming in the right direction. They have to have the right aim, the right shot. When a person who plays soccer, I don't think anybody in here plays, they're aiming at the right goal. They got to make sure they're aiming at the right goal. If you throw it in the other goal, the other guy gets the point, all right? Make sure you're aiming the right way. And that's kind of the message today. My mom, one time, I'll just tell you this kind of funny story. We were playing with BB guns because that's what boys do, right? And so we were playing with BB guns in the house, and she wanted to teach us a lesson, and you know, gun safety, all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't remember how old I was. I was probably 8 years old, okay? And she grabs the BB gun and says, "Don't you ever point it at somebody." You know, she showed us how not to point it at, by pointing it at us, all right? And she was trying to get the point across, all right? None of us really wanted to be shot with that BB gun by mom. And so she, don't you ever point it at somebody, don't you ever? And then she took that BB gun up. She goes, a gun might always be loaded. And she, you know, it was one of those Red Riders, you know, where you cock it like this, okay? And she goes, a gun might always be loaded. And she cocked it like that. And she pointed at her window in the house to show us that we shouldn't, this is all about not shooting in the house. So I remember this forever because of this. She goes, don't you, a gun might always be loaded. She cocked it. She put it up like this. And she probably shot a BB gun when she was, you know, a little kid. It's been a long time since mom shot a BB gun, you know. And she picked that thing up and goes, boom. And she put a hole right in the window, amen, with one of those. And, okay, lesson didn't, you know, lesson learned, we shouldn't do that. But I will never forget that moment. But you know what? Mom hit exactly what she was aiming at, man. She put that thing up there, and she hit that window. She got her point across. Do not shoot in the house because you might put a hole in my window. And she did that. So that's not what we're getting at tonight, but it is a good point. You will hit what you're aiming at. You will. You will. And what we're trying to look at is this word desire. Let's look at that real quick. Verse number 4. We're looking at the word desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I like looking up words in the Bible and finding out how many times they happen, right? I like looking up words in the Bible and studying them all the way through. This is kind of one of those words that you probably have never done a real study on. I know I hadn't. Maybe you have. But you know what? I just wanted to find out. Lord, I want my desire to be in the right spot. I want my desire to be pointed in the right direction. I want to be aiming at, desiring the right things. And I want to find out what God's word has to say about that. Now, if you read through your Bible and you look up the word desire, you're going to find it a lot. In the King James Bible and in the language that they would have used in that day, the word desire gets used in a couple different ways. Let me just give you those. A desire could mean a request. Like, I desire this. I desire you to give this for me. Gideon asked and he said, I desire something. That was just a simple question. Hey, can I have that? Hey, can you give me an answer on that? And that was a simple, average, just everyday use of a word in a request. The next thing when you see the word desire in the Bible would be like a plea. It's beyond just a regular request. I mean, this is something, you know, I greatly, you know, when David was desiring, he wanted that cup of water. Those guys got it for him. It wasn't just a, you know, maybe he said it as a passing request, but they realized, you know, this was a big deal for him. And those mighty men, you remember the story, they go out and they fight through people and they get that water from that well. You know, that was a big deal. But also we find the word desire. You know, Hannah, she goes in, she's praying for a child, right? And that wasn't just a simple, Lord, can I have this request. That was a big request. And so sometimes we find the word desire in the Bible as more than just a simple, can I have this, or here's what I want an answer for. It's a plea. It's a longing. It's something that's important. And then the last thing we find a lot in, especially in Proverbs, is this matter of direction. What direction are you facing? Where is the desire of your heart? You find that phrase a lot, the desire of your heart. In fact, it says there, you know, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So what are those? And how do I make my desires what God wants them to be? You know, how am I going to get those desires of my heart? Right here it says, it gives you a formula in Psalms 37, and I've preached that message before. David's got 5 steps there that you need to do if you're going to live a good Christian life. But we're not here teaching that. I just want to look at this word desire, and I want you to realize a few points. I'm just going to give you 10 things that this word desire has to do in the Bible. The first thing is, number one, God has a desire for you. God has a desire for you. God has a desire for me. I want to find out what that is because, you know, I want to desire what's right, but I also kind of want to know what God wants to do for me. That's, you know, our nature. What does he want from me? It's all through the Bible. It says right here, his desire is that we would delight himself. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I find out first, God wants to give me stuff. He wants to help me. He wants to please the desires of my heart. He wants them to be right, but I mean, God wants to be, just like I want to for my son, God wants to for me. You listen, if Richard wants something, I'll listen to it. Now, the wise father will listen to the request and, you know, judge what he's trying to ask there, because sometimes we ask things, even of God, that we shouldn't ask. We do. We ask things to, the Bible says, to consume it on our lust, right? And he says, listen, you have not because you ask not. All right, but sometimes we ask stuff and it's not with the right heart, it's not with the right intention, and God doesn't want to give us those things that would hurt us. But here, God wants to give me some good things, good desires of my heart. Let's look at some of those, all right? Jeremiah, I'll just read this one to you. Go ahead and turn to Psalms 32, since we're right here. What is it that God desires of me? Psalms 32. Brother Chad preached this message a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, with the guide. Remember his message on the guides? All right? He used this verse. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Verse 8, I'm sorry. In the way which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eyes. God's desire is for him to guide me. He doesn't want me to get lost. He doesn't want me to wander around not knowing what I'm supposed to do. God has a will and a way for my life. God has a desire, a direction for me to go, according to that verse. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hey, listen, God's got a plan for me. He does. And you know what? My job, and we're going to get to that, my desire ought to be to do the same plan that God has for me. Does that make sense? I mean, when I go to, if I am going to go and learn how to shoot that target accurately, and I have a teacher there, you know, I might be able to just, you know, pull out my six shooter and just start shooting, but come on, we've done that before. You know, guys, we thought we were cool, and we're trying to, you know, if you've ever had an automatic or semi-automatic and you're just wanting to, you know, hold the trigger down and bop, 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 you know what? You're not going to hit anything, all right? Because you're just thinking that if you hold it there and point at the target, you're going to hit something. It doesn't work that way, does it? A lot of times it takes a little training. It takes practice. It takes somebody to teach you and say, hey, no, hold it this way. Don't hold the trigger down for 5 minutes hoping to hit something, all right? That's not how it works. One at a time, or learn how to shoot it. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to train you in so that you can hit that target every time. And that's what God wants to do for us as Christians. And he does that through his word. He does that through preaching. He does that through our pastor. His desire is to show us what we're supposed to do, all right? 1 Corinthians 2:9, but is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. There's a whole bunch of stuff that God has planned for us. That's part of his will. Hey, listen, we don't need a little genie with three wishes to tell us to get what we need, all right? We don't need to, we don't need a lottery ticket to provide our needs for us, all right? We don't need, we don't even need to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps type of idea. We can go to God if we need something, and he wants to give it to us. And we're going to find that out through this word desire. A lot of this word desire is where people's wanter is at. All right, what direction are you pointing? Where is that desire placed? And it's a neat word, and I don't think we're going to cover everything. I know that there were some other uses of the word desire in the Bible. I didn't throw that one out there, but you know, a lot of times desire can mean love, right? The Bible said that Eve's desire will be towards her husband. That's a love. That's a respect. That's something different. We're not going to cover that necessarily in this study, but there are a few other ways that Eve and, you know, Adam and husband and wife can have a desire towards each other. And listen, when we say the word desire, we're not talking about what the world calls desire at all. The Bible definition and the world's definition of desire are two totally different things. And, you know, lustful desires. The Bible is going to talk about those type of things in a way, but it's pretty easy to tell by the context that they're not good for you, all right? Number one, God has a desire for you. He has a plan, a direction for you. Number two, the devil has a desire for you. He does. Jesus said to Peter, he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, right? He desired you to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing that Jesus prayed for him, but also, realistically, hey, listen, dads, he desires to have us. He wants to ruin our family. Hey, preachers, he desires to have us. The devil would desires, preacher preached on it Sunday night. He preached on it Sunday morning, Sunday night. The devil wants us up on his wall of trophies, doesn't he? He does. He desires to have as many Christians. Listen, after you're saved, you're saved. He can't take that from you. But he can do a lot of things to ruin your Christian testimony. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to do that to mine. He wants to do it to yours. And here we see that the devil does, you know, that just comes down to that word direction. God has a direction for you. And guess what? Whatever God says, the devil's his opposite. All right? It is. And he does. He has a roaring lion Sunday. All right? 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's walking around. That's his plan. That's his desire for me, is that I would fail. That's his desire. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:4, preacher read this verse, and I wrote it down. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, right? He blinded those people. It says here, blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hey, you know what his desire is this Saturday? He may not be able to stop me from going out visiting, okay? But you know what? First of all, that's his goal. Can he stop? Is he going to stop you this week from telling somebody else about Jesus? All right, don't let him do that. But listen, his next goal is, even if he can't stop you, he's going to do everything he can to stop them, right, from hearing it. He's going to blind it. He's going to distract them. He's going to do everything he can. Now, you can't stop all of that, but you can pray, and you can ask God to help you, because he will. And God will get you to that person who needs to be saved, amen? Let's be praying about Saturday. Let's be praying about our visit. I need to pray about it more, all right? I need to trust God in that area of life. I can't stop all the distractions the devil's going to bring, but God can. He can if he wants to. And so let's pray about it. So God has a direction or a desire for you, and the devil has a desire for you. But here's where we get into the kind of the message for us, all right, tonight. This matter of what are my desires supposed to be? Hey, listen, my flesh and my spirit both have a desire, right? You ever had a desire for something? Okay, and I'm talking, let's go fleshly here just a second, all right? You're hungry, okay? If you're hungry and you could have any food you want, what would it be? All right, now it depends on who you are and what kind of season it is, all right? Everybody right now wants pumpkin spice stuff because it's supposed to be fall. But it doesn't feel like fall right now, so, you know. But hey, my desires change too, all right? My fleshly appetites change too. When it's summer, I want some watermelon and sweet tea, amen? I'm looking forward to a hog roast this Sunday. And you know what? Come Sunday night, I'm going to listen to the message. But man, that smell is going to be coming in here. And I think I might just be, you know, it's outdoor service too. I think we might all be desiring some of that meal on Sunday night, all right? Are those things wrong? No, they're not wrong. Out of place, they're definitely wrong, all right? But you know what? Our flesh does, it just shows us that our flesh does have some things that it wants, all right? And those are the kind of the basic things, food and drink and all that kind of thing. But it goes way more than that, doesn't it? Our flesh is pretty selfish. It has a whole list of desires that, you know what, as a Christian, I need to learn how to control if there's something like my appetite, all right? But you know what? I also need to learn how to get rid of some of them and keep putting them down, because some desires are not right to have and out of control are very dangerous and sinful. And then at the same time, my spirit, if I'm a Christian, does desire the right things. It does somewhere in there, all right? But you know what? A lot of times we take that spirit, okay, and we put it way down here and the flesh is nice and fat and full, and it's real hard for that spirit to have the say, isn't it? All right? Your saved soul has a hard time having a say. If a preacher's message about getting in the right order with the Corinthians, okay, your body, soul, and spirit, all right, and then, of course, you know, your soul is saved and your body's the flesh, right? They both have different things they want, but what does it come down to? It comes down to, you know, your mind and your heart and your will, those three things, that triune being in you, getting right with the Lord and keeping those, that's where it's all happening at. And so this matter of desires comes from your heart. We're going to see this heart thing in just a second. So listen, my flesh and spirit are warring against each other. They have different desires, so to speak. And we're going to find out a lot of verses about that and people who had the wrong thing. You know, although my flesh might desire wrong, I am commanded as a Christian not to do certain things, specifically in the Bible. We know what some of those are, but let's look at this word desire and see what happens. Psalms 10, we're here in Psalms. Let's go ahead and turn to the ones we can find in Psalms. Psalms chapter 10. Verse number 3, for the wicked, so here we're going to get a, number 1 was God has a desire, number 2, the devil has a desire, number 3, my flesh and spirit have desires, even though my flesh, number 4, is wrong, I'm told I'm not to desire these things, and the first thing is, I'm not supposed to desire what the wicked man desires, or what the world desires, all right, we're going to look at a few verses about these folks. Psalms chapter 10, verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. This is completely opposite from what I'm supposed to be as a Christian. He says here, the wicked man boasts of what he desires in his heart. He's boasting about it, telling everybody else about it. Here's what I want. Here's what I want. Here's the direction I'm going. Wickedness the world gets more wicked each day, doesn't it? The longer the devil has control here, the worse it gets. And you know what? It got so bad at one point, God had to destroy it all with a flood, didn't he? And you know what? I don't know that we're not real close to the second part of that. All right? Jesus coming back and then, you know what? Destroying this old world and all of its junk that's in it. And you know what? I'll be happy for the day that Jesus comes back. But I will feel very bad for the people that are left here on this earth to face that. But here we've got men who are wicked men who boast of their desires. And they're not good desires. They're evil. They're wrong. They're wicked. And the opposite is they go ahead and they bless the covetous people. All right? If you go back to the Ten Commandments, part of that whole desire thing is people who would covet something else, right? It basically, even if you look up the word desire, it even says, you know, not to desire the other man's wife or desire the things that the world has. And basically, that's all in that coveting section, right? That's a desire. That's a sin. And here, he not only does he boast of his desire, but he blesses everybody who does do those things. So I'm not supposed to be that way as a Christian. We know that. But here we have a really bad picture of what happens to people who have the wrong desires, and they boast about them. So let's be careful that we're not doing that. But also, there's more about the wicked. What happens to this wicked man and his desire? And we need to, the reason I'm reading some of these verses here in just a second isn't because I think everybody in here is a wicked man with wicked desires. All right? That's not what we're talking about. But I want us to look at these verses and just think about them just a second and make sure that none of those things are creeping into our life. Because the truth is, we can polish ourselves up, and we're going to see a verse about the Pharisees here in a little while that Jesus says they desire to look like they're doing okay. That's part of their desire, is to look like everything's all right. But inside, they've got some problems, all right? And these are what the root of the problem is. Job 21:4, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. This is the wicked, folks. And listen, how many young people have said, I don't desire to hear that. I don't want to hear that. How many adults have said, I don't really want to hear that. It's not part of, you know what, I'll come to church on Sunday mornings, because on Sunday mornings he's not so hard. I don't want to come to church on Sunday nights. It's a little rough. All right, I don't want to come to Bible study. You know, that's not for me. And listen, we're helping people, okay? We are helping people. Don't get on somebody for not being here every service. Help them get to every service, amen? And preachers definitely have been preaching about that in Corinthians, you know? We've got a growth process here. Let's not stamp out all the new growth just because we're trying to be hyper-spiritual Christians, all right? But let's be helpful to these people and real, you know, let them see that, hey, you know, if that attitude has crept into my heart, this I don't want to hear it attitude, I got to be careful. Because here the wicked man has that same thing. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. They shall gnash with his teeth and melt. The desire of the wicked shall perish. That's what happens to the wicked man's desire. His direction is not good. All right? Well, I think we're all pretty clear on that. He says, don't desire the dainty meats in Proverbs of the wicked. You know, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. I mean, there's a certain type of lifestyle that looks pretty good. All right? Sometimes I could sit down and say, I kind of want a lot of money, or I kind of want to go eat at that nice restaurant, or whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong with doing that thing, but if it's outside of my, okay, ability or whatever, and I'm having a wrong desire, I might want to go eat at that restaurant, but I don't want the lifestyle that got that guy there, all right? He's living a wicked life, and he's partying, and sometimes, you know, David had trouble with that, didn't he? Read the Psalms. He had trouble looking at how the wicked prospered and how he didn't. Okay, and sometimes as a Christian, it's easy for me to look at my life and say, boy, you know, I could use some extra of this or that or the other. And you know what those all are? A little bit of the flesh kicking in, all right? A lot of that is fleshly. You know, we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not the stuff of the world to the point where it causes my attitude to get bad with the Lord. And so here, hey, listen, watch out for the desires that the world has, that you're not doing the same thing. All right, we'll skip some of those verses. But hey, listen, you know, let's look at Proverbs 11. I'll just go ahead and read it for you. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked, what's going to happen? It's wrath. It's going to rot, the Bible says in another verse. Hey, listen, as a Christian, I had to have the right desires, my righteous desires, desires toward God. All right, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Hey, listen, if you've got a request, God wants to grant it to me. God wants to help me. He wants to give me what I need, all right? Not always what my flesh wants, but he wants to give me what I need. We're also supposed to not love the world. Here's the command given to the children of Israel. You know, God's pretty serious about this whole where's your desires thing. He even told them, the graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. You're supposed to take those statues you captured and burn them up, all right? And here's what happens. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that's on them. I kind of like silver and gold. It's money, right? I think everybody likes having a little money. But he was telling those folks, hey, listen, Don't mess with this idea of taking the world's stuff for yourself into your home as a Christian, as a child of God. And listen, hey, we got to watch how we mess with that right there. I shouldn't be taking just because it's worth something. You know, well, it's worth a lot of money. All right, be careful about that. What you just took into your home might be one of those things. It might not look like a little man and an idol, but it just might be one. And we got to be careful about what we idolize into our home that's worth a lot of money, because here God says it's an abomination. I don't want you touching that stuff. Don't touch the world's idols and bring them into your home just because you want the silver and gold and the shiny stuff. And so let's be careful about how we think. All right, so desires. We know the devil has desires for us. We know the wicked man has a bunch of wrong desires. What should our desire be? And this is kind of where I wanted to know from the Bible. What is it that I'm supposed to be pointed towards? And I think we know what we're supposed to, but sometimes we forget. We don't read what God's word has to say about this word desire. Number five, I should desire and look forward to heaven. Heaven. Hey, you know what? It's neat. When you find a word in the Bible, this is why a word study is kind of neat. You can do a character study, you can do a book study, and they're all good. A word's kind of neat because you can trace a word through the Bible, and you can find out how God used it. And you know what? Sometimes you find it tied to horrible things like the wicked man, but sometimes you find it tied towards stuff that you can just go, amen, that's awesome. And let's find out. I should desire heaven. In Philippians 1, verse 21 to 23, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. I am in a strait. Here's what Paul says. I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart. Man, he wanted to go to heaven. All right? That was his desire, to go to heaven. But he also said, I kind of desire to be here on earth and be with you and help you. And you know what? Hey, listen, if we're honest with ourselves, this world's a pretty miserable place sometimes. And I'd rather just be in heaven today. All right? Now, I don't necessarily always want in our flesh. Guess what? I don't want to die right now. All right? I want Jesus just to come back right now and take everybody with us. Amen? That's the kind of heaven that I want to go to right now. But at the same time, you know what? I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking for that blessed hope. That's what we should be doing. And so here, Paul says, I have a desire to be in heaven with Jesus. And I also know that it's good for me to be with you. And so I'm kind of torn back and forth between the two. And he just pretty much said, I'll keep serving the Lord while I'm here. Amen. But we need to keep that desire in our heart. Hebrews 11:16 says something that's amazing to me. But now they desire a better country. Talking about all those people in the Hall of Faith chapter. Now they desire a better country. Boy, those folks who serve the Lord faithfully. Hey, listen, you know what? If we'll serve God faithfully here, I think it helps us look forward to heaven a little bit more. Okay? I think the Christian that doesn't serve God very well here on earth has a hard time looking forward to heaven because of where their desire is pointed. Hey, listen, I have a hard time looking forward to heaven if all my desires are this way here on earth. You know? And if my desires are in heaven, though, and all my work's going towards heavenly things, then it's going to be a lot easier for me to say, hey, I'm ready to go to heaven. Anytime the Lord comes back, I'm good to go. Now, listen, why do I have trouble with that? Why do... Because my wanter is in the wrong direction. All right? My gun is aimed not at heavenly things. It's aimed at earthly things. That's what I'm shooting for sometimes. And listen, we've all done it. All right? Saved or not, Christian or not, faithful servant of God or not, you've had times where you have thought, you know what? I kind of want what's down here. I kind of want this thing. I kind of want that thing. And instead, we're not pointing towards heaven. And he says, here, hey, listen, you know what? It'll be a lot easier for us if we'll just take our desires and set them on heavenly things and not the stuff that's down here. This stuff is going to burn up. It's going to corrupt. It's going to be no more. Hey, listen, we should, number one, desire for heaven. We should also bring our desires to God. Remember that whole thing about asking? Hey, listen, if my son wants something, he's going to ask me, all right? And you know what? My desire is to help him. And even if I don't give him exactly what he wants, I still want to help him. I still want to help him in whatever way I can. And you know what I really want to do? I want to get him to ask the right question. Does that make sense? Now, my son's a young guy. But he's getting to that mischievous stage where he's asking two or three different things to try to get his way, you know, playing mom and dad at the same time, all right? But you know what? I want to do as a father, I want to help him ask me the right thing. Listen, you know, hey, you know what? Sorry, buddy, it's not time for ice cream right now at, you know, midnight, okay? Sorry, I don't know if that's what he's asked me anytime. I don't think he's ever done that. But you know what I'm saying? God wants to do the same for us. He wants to help us get to that right question, that right prayer request. In fact, he knows before we even ask, doesn't he? All right. And so we should have a desire for heaven. We should bring our desires to the Lord. That's who we should cast them upon. If you've got something you really need and you really want, you ought to take it to God. You ought to take it to the Lord. Hannah got a child that way by praying for it. All right. She prayed to the Lord. Mark 11:24 says, "Wherefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." If you'll desire it, if you'll believe it. Oh, that one would hear me, Job said, and behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me. He just wanted God to answer him. Psalms 10, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble, thou wilt prepare the heart, thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Psalms 21:2, thou hast given him his heart's desire. God just wants to help us have the right desires. And hath not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. Behold, all my desire is before thee. I mean, these are the prayers of the saints. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Hey, listen, God wants us to bring our requests to him. Okay? He does. He wants us to look forward to heaven. Number 7, we should keep our heart's desire on guard, God, and reserve our best for him. This word desire showed me that, listen, my best desire, the best love that I have, the best requests that I have are not for anybody in this room, not for my wife, not for anybody. They're for God. They're for God. Everything that I can give to someone, I should start by giving it to God. And you know what? I do have a desire towards my wife, and she has a desire towards me in the form of a love and affection. And you know what? If she wants something from me, I'm going to try everything I can to get it for her. And that's a good love for a husband. Listen, children and fathers and sons and daughters, and we should have that love for each other to an extent. All right? But you know what? The person we should reserve it for the most is Jesus, is God. And you know what? It's very clear. God wants that from us. That's his desires, that we would fall in love with him. First, that you get saved. If you're not saved in the room tonight, you need to trust the Lord as Savior. None of this is going to make any sense to your soul or your heart or anything. And as much as you pray, it's not going to do any good if you've never asked Jesus to save you from your sin. But you know what? After that, we ought to be faithfully bringing our things to him and asking him for help. I mean, he wants that. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe it, okay? Our best desire goes to God. You know, David said, "For this is all my salvation and all my desire." Everything he had was for the Lord. And you know what? There's some change that happens. If you read it through the Old Testament, the children of Israel are back and forth, aren't they? In one time, out the other, God has to send judges. I mean, you know, one time they're selfish, one time they're not. A lot like us Christians are, right? And you know, one day we're selfish and living for ourselves, and one day we're saying, "Lord, I'm sorry, you know, help me out. I need help in this area." A lot of times we start asking God again when we need help, all right? Let's be careful that we don't live that way, all right? It doesn't produce fruitfulness like it ought to. But here in 2 Chronicles, all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and they sought him with their whole desire. Everything they had, they gave to the Lord. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Hey, listen, you know what he said there? If you'll seek me, and you'll do it with your whole heart, I'll be found. You can find me. I'm not far away from you. He says, if you'll look for it, if you'll look for an answer, you really will find it. You really will find peace in knowing Jesus as your Savior, and if you pray and ask him, all right? Number eight, and this is where kind of the desires get tested here. Number 8, outward actions reveal your inward desires. Outward actions reveal your inward desires. You want to know how a man is? Start watching what he's doing. And you know what? We can only see the outside, can't we? We can't see the inside of their heart. But you know what? There's a reason that pastor has certain things he preaches on. Your standards, how you're talking, how you're dressing, how's this doing in your life? You know why? All of that is him just trying to get your gun pointed in the right direction. Does that make sense? I mean, that's all it is. We talked about the hunting illustration. You know, if I'm going hunting with someone, if I'm shooting at a target, and there's a guy there who knows a lot more than me, if he tells me to do something, I ought to do it. All right? I'll hit that target a lot better if I'll obey. And you know what? A lot of the preaching that we hear from God's Word and the devotions that we have and we read, you know, truths from the Bible, all it is God taking that direction and making sure it's straight where it's supposed to be. But listen, our outward actions do show everybody else kind of where our heart's pointed. All right? Proverbs 18:1. Through desire, a man separates himself, all right? A man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. The desire of a man is his kindness. Well, that's interesting. And a poor man is better than a liar. So listen, hey, I can tell what your desire is by how kind you are a little bit, all right? You know, the kindest people ought to be Christians. The world ought to tell what our direction is by our kindness. The desire of the slothful killeth him. So what he wants to do and the direction he's going isn't helping him any. He's just sitting around doing nothing, all right? And it kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. You know what that is? It's kind of a goofy illustration, but it's true, all right? We can see what your desires are by your outward actions. You know, when you walk by a guy who's slothful and not doing anything, you can tell, can't you? The house looks like a mess, and the kids look like a mess, and, you know, he looks like a mess, okay? And then sometimes you might just be, you just want somebody to the Lord, and they're just growing, but hey, you know what? How's our desire? What do we look like to the world? You know, they can see it. They can see it in us. When they walk by our house, what do they see? You know, do they see, that comes down to what's on the outside a little bit, all right? Let me just read you this verse about the Pharisees. Beware of the scribes. I love it when Jesus gets on the scribes and Pharisees. It's fun. We're almost done here, too, tonight. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk. They desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at the feast. That is their desire. In fact, Jesus said it one way. He said, Look at these guys who are doing all these things. That's their reward. That's what they got. They're not getting anything in heaven for that. That's all they've got. They look nice. They go to church on Sunday. They have a nice car. They act like they read the Bible. There you go. That's what they get. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. All right? I want my desire to show to the world. I mean, when the world sees me knock on their door, they ought to see somebody who cares about them. They ought to see that the desire of my heart is to see that person saved. That's what Paul said. Right? My desire for the house of Israel is that they would be saved. That was his goal. And I think everywhere that Paul went, people knew it. People knew it. They didn't say, oh, there's a halfway Christian, or there's a kind of Christian, or I'm really not sure where his loyalties lie. I don't think they said that, did they? You know, they knew Paul was the real deal. What about us? What about me? What about my house and my family? Do we look like the real deal, or do we just look like it? Do we just look like it? Let's not just look like it. Let's have the right desire. You know what that is? My wanter, my direction needs to be pointed in the right spot. And you know what? When I go out soul winning, I don't need to be, okay, I'm filling my hours for the church, or I'm just here to get as many people on my... I mean, listen, even good desires sometimes. Hey, if all we're going for is getting 100 people on the bus, and that's a good goal because we need people in church to get saved. But you know, when I'm knocking on doors, they ought to see that I want them to come so that they can get saved. They ought to see that I want them to come so I can help them. They ought to see my heart a little bit. And let's be careful not to just walk around with show and be like the Pharisees, you know. Beware of those scribes. They desire to walk into church with their suit and tie on, and they desire to carry their Bible, and they desire to even teach in Sunday school, because, you know, if they weren't teaching Sunday school, then my goodness, they're not right with the Lord. And, you know, and all that stuff. You know, that's what the Pharisees were. They were position people, but they didn't have a heart. And let's make sure we're not that way. All right, number 9 and 10. Christians should desire fellowship with other Christians. Amen? And we're getting ready to have a fellowship night. And we should. We should desire to see each other on Wednesday nights. We should desire to be here. That should be part of our goal, is to be here with each other. You know what? Hey, I know that you can read the Bible and you can go on nowadays online and listen to 100 sermons instead of one if you want to. All night you can listen to sermons. But you know where I need to be? Right here in church. That should be my desire, to be in church. You know what? If I'm not feeling well and I can make it still and you know, a little bit, you know, it ought to be my desire to do what's right. It ought to be my desire to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And hey, you know what? Paul said that all through his thing. He goes, I desire to be present with you now, is what he said. He says he had a great desire to be with them. But now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire that these many years to come to you. Hey, everywhere throughout the scripture, when you see Paul talking to these churches, even if they weren't quite right with the Lord in some areas, he was trying to correct some stuff, he still wanted to be with them, because you know why? He wanted to help them. We ought to want to help each other. We ought to want to show up and fellowship with each other. We should have a desire. If you don't have a desire to be with other Christians, you might want to check and make sure you are one. Preacher preached that whole sermon. Helped me out a lot. It's been, I think, a year ago. evidences of a true salvation. And, you know, he gave seven reasons from the book and seven reasons why. And you know what one of them was? It was that. If you never desire to be with, you know, fellow Christians, if you can't have good fellowship with Christians, you just might want to check and make sure that you know for sure that you know for sure you're saved. And I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt your salvation, but where's your direction? Do you always want to be with the world? You know, is Saturday football games way more important than going out soul winning? Is those that crowd way more important than being at church? All right, you'll show up to every worldly event, but hardly ever come to a church event. All right, if we have a work day, have you ever showed up? If we have a special thing at church, have you ever showed up for that? And I know you can say schedule, but you know what? In the end, if always you've scheduled God out of your life except for Sunday mornings, then there's something wrong there. We should have a desire. You might be saved, but your desire is in the wrong place. Okay? I shouldn't desire. You know, there are some things every once in a while. I mean, just think about you and your family for a moment. You know, there are places I've wanted to go. You know, I went to one, and I like football. All right, I do. I like football. I've been to a Colts game. I took somebody from here to a Colts game. Who was that? The Scales went up there with me when Preacher was giving out an award one year for the fall program. But you know what? I mean, I like football. I'd rather, you know what part of my desire is? I'd rather just watch it on my TV. You can say whatever you want about that, but you know what? You go to that place, I mean, seriously, go to one of those places, and you tell me what you see at that. Tell me what you see. Drunkenness, immorality, people who just are, you know, the way they're dressed. And I'm not against you if you went to a football game. Like I said, I've been to them. I do like going to that. You know, I went down to an IU game a year ago with my dad and my grandpa and my brothers and Gerald Clanny. And you know what? That was cool. That was a fun time. You know why? Because I was with people that I wanted. I was with Christians, all right? And you know what, though? I walked away from that, and I'll tell you, I was kind of like, man, you know what? I don't know if I ever need to go to one of these again, you know? Because it was kind of like you walk in there, and you spend hours, you know, and you're far away from the football game, and you have to look down there. You know, it wasn't as bad as being at a Colts game where the stadium's huge, you know? But you know, at the same time, hey, you know what? Who do you want to hang out with? Do you always have to hang out with the world, or do you want to hang out with the Christians? All right? And you know what? I think I'll choose God's people over hanging out with the world and their stuff. Number 10, Christians should desire spiritual things, the Word of God, and the work of God. Hey, listen, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. Hey, listen, you ought to desire to listen to preaching. You know, there's some young men who I think, if you're just young men, you know, listen to the Holy Spirit. Because God might be calling somebody to preach in here, and your desire has never been set on the right thing, and you're missing it. Because, you know, I find here that if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And you know what? I'm not saying anybody in here is against the will of God for that, but hey, you know what? It says people should be desiring it, and there's a lot less out there that pastor would stand up and tell you he's seen a lot less of that, hasn't he? You know what it is? Our desire is not in the right spot. And you know what? We got some good people growing up in good families and good Christian kids. And my family, good Christian home, good church. But you know what? So much of my teenage years, if I look back on, my desire wasn't in the right place. It wasn't like it should have been. And you know what? We need to keep our desire on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Our eternity could weigh in the balance. Somebody else's. You know what? If there's a pastor in here that's supposed to be a pastor and in 10 years you're not preaching, what's going to happen to the church that you were supposed to preach? You know, if there's a dad in here who's supposed to have a certain direction and your desire is not on the Lord and instead it's on things, what's going to happen to your children? You know what? Hey, young people, if you're a teenager and your desire is supposed to be on the right thing and instead it was on something else and you went out soul winning and you didn't have the right attitude while you were out there, the right desire, what happened to that person that you were supposed to witness to? And you know what? In the end, hey, listen, folks, we can get real selfish, can't we? And our desire can be pointed in the wrong direction. What happens to the world if our desire is here on earth? It goes where it's already going to hell. The devil's got his way. If he could just get every Christian to set their desire on things here instead of things there, then he's won. He's won. You might be saved, but he's got a big victory, and he's cheering it on, because as long as he can keep us distracted, you know what, and our desire not in the right spot, he's got us. He's got it. He's gotten me. And he's gotten you. Let's make sure our desire, when we go out this week, let's make sure our things are, our aim is true. And whatever we're doing for the Lord, let's make sure it's on fire. If we're going out visiting, let's make sure we're doing that. Okay? If we're going out working for our family, you know what? That ought to be part of our goal. Ought to work for our family. You know, whatever it is God's given you to do, set your sights and get it done. There's a song, or a, not a song, a poem by Edgar Guest. I didn't bring it in here, but somebody said it couldn't be done. Has anybody heard that poem before? All right, it's a good poem. You ought to look it up. Somebody said it couldn't be done. And there's something to be said of something that, you know what, if the devil thinks I can't do it, I'd like to go prove him wrong. All right, you know, if the devil thinks that he ought to get me some direction, I'd like to go the opposite way. And I'd like to go the way that God wants me to. Hey, how do we get the right desire? Get in God's word. Keep your heart and mind set on him. Get your desires off the world and all of its distractions. And then just keep your aim right and straight. And you know what you have to do if you're aiming at a target? If you're shooting at something especially far away. Hey, listen, I don't know how far away heaven is. All right? It might be tomorrow. It might be in 5 minutes. But you know what? It is a long ways away, distance-wise. It's not here. It's not on earth. Okay, I can't get to it from here, can I? Except for through Jesus. So you know what? It's kind of like you're aiming through a scope, and you're trying to keep your aim. And you know what? There's a lot of things distracting you, isn't there? There's your breathing, and there's things around you, and there's a lot of things. But if you're gonna get that deer, that big, you know, trophy buck, all right, you gotta have a good aim, all right. Especially the farther away you're shooting. But hey, listen, Christians, let's just keep our eyes on Jesus this week. Let's do it. This week, keep your desire in the right spot. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the sermon, the message. And Lord, I don't know that I 100% did that justice. I hope that every person will go home and as they read their Bible, just underline that word, desire. And they would just think of it and just make sure, help me to think of it and make sure that my desire, my direction is what you want it to be. And I pray, Lord, for the one who in this room might need to know you as Savior. I pray for the one in the room who might just have their desire set on something that's not right. And Lord, I don't know what all those things are. I know I need to keep myself right. I pray that we'd make that decision tonight and we'd go throughout this week. And Lord, we realize that somebody's eternity just might weigh in the balance for how we treat this matter of where our heart is. And Lord, then our treasure will be there also. Help us tonight. Give us wisdom as the invitation starts. In Jesus' name, amen.